And while it's still a little on the frosty side out there this morning, we've at least got sunshine. And we are also joined this morning in the studio by Fireman Kenny.
Well, good morning, Rick. Good morning to all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout-outs. So last week, I attended the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association conference in Green Bay. Shout-outs to everyone on the conference committee for another great conference this year. They always do such a great job at lining up speakers to give really good information that is really helpful when we are in the public. And congratulations to the newly elected officers of the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association. So President Dan Schmoker of the Wauwatosa Fire Department, First Vice President Pete Fletty of the Marshfield Fire Department, and Second Vice President Jason Necht of the Eau Claire Fire Department. So three awesome individuals who I think are going to really take this organization to new levels. Great guys, wonderful to work with. Another thank you to Chuck Ritten, fire inspector for the Slinger Fire Department and retired fire marshal from the Jackson Fire Department. Chuck donated a number of his fire service collectibles for the annual raffle at the Fire Inspectors Conference. And thank you to John Albright of the City of Sheboygan Falls Fire Department. John was able to obtain items from his employer, Larry's Distributing, for the raffle. Funds raised from the raffle went to the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Charitable Foundation, Burn Camp. So thanks
awesome.
To everyone. Yeah, so every area. So we're in Area 6. So every area is supposed to bring something for the raffle prizes. And it worked out really well that, I mean, especially raising money for Burn Camp, who's not going to want to give in to that?
Right.
So we raised a lot of money out of the people that were there for the raffle tickets for Burn Camp.
Good.
So now we head into monthly sprinkler saves, or also known as fires you never hear about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So our first one is from the City of Madison Fire Department. Thank you to Ed Ruckriegel for sending me this one. On October 8th at 12:46 p.m., the City of Madison Fire Department was dispatched for a structure fire at Goodwill Industries, 1302 Mendota Street. Occupants were evacuating as firefighters arrived. Crews found smoke at the back of the building where the dumpster and trash compactor were located inside. Officials said an automatic fire sprinkler system inside the compactor room helped control the fire until firefighters were able to put it out. Firefighters had to remove the dumpster and its contents from the building before they could fully extinguish the blaze. Damages are estimated to be only $500. Nobody was injured in the build, and the building was not impacted.
So basically, fire confined to the dumpster.
Exactly. So it didn't spread to the building. And again, this is another time where a sprinkler system not only saved the building, but kept operations up and running in a very short period of time.
Absolutely. All right.
Second one, also from the City of Madison Fire Department. They have a lot of sprinkler saves out there. So this one was actually in the City of Fitchburg. Madison Fire Department responded mutual aid on this one, and they were the ones that sent this one to me. So at approximately 8:18 p.m. on Thursday, October 14th, Fitchburg and Madison firefighters were dispatched to an apartment complex on Williamsburg Way for a smoke investigation. Madison Engine 7 reported heavy smoke in the hallways and water flowing from one of the apartments on the second floor. The cause of the fire was a plastic container that had melted on the stove in the apartment.
Just a hint here. Most things you put on the stove to heat things in should be metal, not plastic.
Exactly. So do not put any combustibles on your stovetop.
Yes.
So again, I don't know how many times I've reported on stuff like that, but it seems to happen all the time. Although, like, I'm just as guilty because when I come in, the first surface is my stove. My first impulse is to put something on there. I always think about it, and I'm like, nope, don't do it. So when I remodel my kitchen, that will not be the first surface as we walk into the door.
Now, see, and that's not the case in mine. So so I don't think about it. I just load up the table first.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
And the table's not going to start on fire.
Right. Well, we hope. Yeah,
we hope.
Yeah, we got a pretty good chance that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So our next sprinkler save is right in our own backyard. On Thursday, October 21st at 8:39 p.m., the Jackson Fire Department received a water flow alarm at Carry Ingredients in the village of Jackson. Jackson police officers reported a working fire. A working still was paged on Mabus Box 12-1-1, which brought in West Bend, Slinger, Hartford, Newburgh, and Germantown fire departments. The cause of the fire was creamer dust in the ducts. An activated sprinkler head held the fire in check. Firefighters were able to extinguish the remaining fire. Causes under investigation.
All right.
And our last sprinkler saves come from my former fire department in my hometown. So thank you to Bob Tarks, Brad Dahl, Jeff Gardner, and Chief Pete Zulik for their assistance with the information on this fire. On Saturday, October 23rd at 11.03 p.m., the Butler Volunteer Fire Department was dispatched for a water flow alarm at Butler Square Apartments, 12809 West Hampton Avenue. Upon arrival, crews found heavy smoke on the second floor and the sprinkler systems activated. They upgraded the assignment to a working still and initiated evacuations, ventilation, and fire suppression. Due to the number of residents requiring assistance, the assignment was upgraded to a box alarm on 23-11. Investigation revealed that a fire initiated in a closet area near the bedroom of the affected unit. As soon as the heat from this fire reached the sprinkler head in the bedroom, the sprinkler head was activated and contained the fire to that immediate area. There was fire damage to the unit where the fire initiated and two other units were damaged with smoke and water. Residents were displaced from these three units. No residents or firefighters were hurt during this incident. The fire is a perfect example of how sprinklers are supposed to work and how they save lives. Only one sprinkler head was activated. The single activation contained the fire to one relatively small area and prevented any further spread of the fire. Butler Fire Department would like to thank their Mavis partners that assisted on this fire. So Menominee Falls, City of Brookfield, Milwaukee, Elm Grove, Wauwatosa, and Sussex Fire Departments assisted on that call.
All right. I think, I sent you one from La Crosse, didn't I?
Yes, I was, just because we had so many.
Right,
we had.
Because, lots of them this month.
Yeah, because there, I think the word is kind of getting out to report them. And because of, like we've talked on the show, you know, we have a shortage of first responders that are available on the full-time side and the volunteer side. Because, again, not everybody was getting into firefighting or all the other things that happen. The greater acceptance on the fire side and on the personal side for fire sprinklers, the word is getting out more because then if anything's going to save lives, it's going to be fire sprinklers that are going to be saving these lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because they're there at the moment.
Right.
There's no time to gear up and get in the truck and drive and all that jazz.
Right. And as fire sprinkler, again, I've pointed out, will use far less water than the firefighters are going to use when we get there. Because the sprinkler heads are going to flow at 15, 25 gallons a minute. We're going to flow at 125 to 175 gallons a minute. So again, even though it's going to take a little longer to flow, but like I always say, big fires start small. So if we can get them out when they're small, we're going to save lives and save property.
Absolutely. Well, hey, it's the second day of November, which means Thanksgiving is coming up, which means it's time for our annual discussion of
turkey fryers.
Yay!
So we got turkey fryer safety. And as Rick had pointed out a few years ago, the Racine Fire Department had a fire where someone left an unattended turkey fryer in a detached garage in Racine and burned their garage down. So here we go with turkey fryer safety. So Thanksgiving will be here before we know it. The sights and sounds of visiting relatives feasting on turkey and then settling in to watch a whole day of football is near. So once again, the West Bend Fire Department will be promoting safe holiday and cooking practices. So one of the most flavorful meals is a deep fried turkey. There are many advantages to a deep frying a turkey over traditional oven baking. A 12-pound deep fried turkey can cook in about 36 minutes, where an oven-baked turkey will take several hours.
Takes less time if it explodes.
Yeah, that's very true. So a deep-fried turkey seals in the juices and having a crispy outside. Last, there is a more even cooking of the turkey since the hot oil gets to every part of the turkey.
However,
there are dangers that may outweigh these advantages. So the National Fire Protection Association discourages the use of outdoor gas-fueled turkey fryers that immerse the turkey in hot oil. According to the NFPA website, NFPA continues to believe that turkey fryers that use cooking oil, as currently designed, are not suitable for safe use by even a well-informed and careful consumer. These turkey fryers use a substantial quantity of cooking oil at high temperatures, and units currently available for home use pose a significant danger that hot oil will be released at some point during the cooking process. In addition, the burners that heat the oil can ignite spilled oil. The use of turkey fryers by consumers can lead to devastating burns, other injuries, and the destruction of property. NFPA urges those who prefer fried turkey to seek out professional establishments such as grocery stores, specialty food retailers, and restaurants for the preparation of the dish and consider a new type of oil-less turkey fryer. So if you are going to use a turkey fryer, be sure to follow these safety tips. Place the turkey fryer on a non-combustible level surface.
Yes, your wooden deck is a bad.
Yes, the wooden deck or anything that's uneven, don't do that.
No.
Thaw the turkey. Never place a frozen turkey in the oil. And I usually show the video on our Facebook page from Boise Fire Department that shows what happens when you put a frozen turkey in the hot oil. It's actually they did everything wrong in this picture to show what can go wrong, and it's a pretty violent explosion when you put a frozen turkey in hot oil. Leave 2 feet between the tank and the burner when using a propane powered fryer. Make sure the oil is between 325 and 350 degrees. Hot oil can ignite. Don't overfill the pot with oil. Overflowing oil can start on fire. The lid for the pot can become extremely hot. Be sure to use pot holders to lift the lid to prevent burns. Skip the stuffing when frying the turkey and avoid water-based marinades. And opt for an oil-less fryer. This uses infrared heat rather than oil to cook the turkey.
Right, right. And again, don't do it inside your garage. Don't do it inside your basement. I'm sure there are people who've done it, guaranteed.
I'd have to do a little research, but I bet you I could find one if I looked hard.
There's got to be one out there somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, and especially in an enclosed space, because again, you've got this open flame, and you're going to end up, if you're in an enclosed area, not only do you have the fire danger, but then the carbon monoxide danger as well.
Right, right, exactly. So, and one other piece of advice. Don't drink a lot of beer while you're doing this.
Right, exactly. Hold my beer, watch this, is usually the first indicator that there's going to be an issue. So make sure when you're doing your deep frying of your turkey, you leave the alcohol till the turkey is done.
There you go. All right. And speaking of leaving, don't ever leave that turkey alone.
Right, exactly. Always monitor. So everything we're cooking. So always be sure to be there to monitor what you're cooking. Because again, we especially once the pandemic started, we had a steep increase in cooking fires. So anything you're doing when you're cooking, whether it's deep frying a turkey outdoors, whether it's cooking indoors, be sure to monitor what you're cooking.
Right, and try not to fall asleep.
And don't fall asleep, yeah.
So, all right. Well, we've got Crash Responder Safety Week coming up next week.
Yeah, so Crash Responder Safety Week is November 8th to the 14th. So Crash Responder Safety Week is an opportunity to make a difference individually and jointly for roadway safety during traffic incidents by teaching each other and the motoring public about our common goal and responsibility for safe, quick clearance. So the Emergency Responder Safety Institutes report that vehicles struck and killed 44 emergency responders who are working on various types of roadway incidents in 2019. So an analysis of the 44 fatalities in 2019 identified the following summary information. So 18 law enforcement officers were struck and killed in 2019. One of those officers was off duty when he stopped to assist a motorist with a disabled vehicle. Law enforcement officers killed accounted for 41% of all emergency responders struck by vehicle fatalities in 2019.
Wow.
14 tow truck operators and 3 mobile mechanics were struck and killed in 2019. These 17 fatalities accounted for 27% of emergency responders all struck by vehicle fatalities in 2019.
Hmm.
9 fire and EMS personnel were struck and killed in 2019. These 9 fatalities accounted for 20% of all the emergency responders struck by vehicle fatalities. And it's important to point out that there are dozens more struck by vehicle incidents each year that cause serious injuries to emergency responders, including career-ending disabling injuries like amputations, head trauma, and back injuries. There are also numerous property damage incidents that significantly damage or destroy expensive emergency vehicles that must be taken out of service, making them unavailable to meet the community's needs.
Absolutely. You can't just run out and pick up a spare ambulance somewhere.
No, it's very difficult.
A loaner, right? They don't do loaners on ambulances.
They do, but the thing is, it's like trying to go get one. So we actually had to run down to Illinois to go get one day. And so it's not as easy to get a spare ambulance. And then if you're talking like, let's say, a spare fire engine, that takes weeks or months of training to get it get that in service so everybody knows. Because you look at a fire engine isn't just a fire engine. There's all sorts of different controls. And, you know, when you're talking about repetition and being proficient at being able to use a piece of equipment, a half a million or $1 million piece of equipment, it takes a lot of training for everybody to be proficient when it comes to getting a vehicle. So you get a loaner vehicle, it's going to take a really long time before you can even get that in service.
Right, right.
So Wisconsin Statute 346.072 states that if an emergency or roadside service vehicle is parked or standing on within 12 feet of a roadway, the operator of a motor vehicle approaching the emergency or roadside service vehicle shall proceed with due regard for all other traffic and shall do either of the following. Move the motor vehicle into a lane that is not the lane nearest the parked or standing emergency or roadside service vehicle and continue traveling in that lane until safely clear of the emergency or roadside service vehicle. This paragraph applies only if the roadway has at least two lanes for traffic proceeding in the direction of the approaching motor vehicle and if the approaching motor vehicle may change lanes safely without interfering with any vehicular traffic. Or slow the motor vehicle, maintaining a safe speed for traffic conditions, and operate the motor vehicle at a reduced speed until completely past the emergency or roadside service vehicle. This paragraph applies only if the roadway has only one lane for traffic proceeding in the direction of the approaching motor vehicle or if the approaching motor vehicle may not change lanes safely without interfering with any vehicular traffic. So again, if you see something on the side of the road, one, slow down, two, move over if you can. Because again, we've had incidents up here. So we had an incident in 2018 where on 45 where our ambulance was almost struck and came within inches of striking firefighter paramedic James Kammiller. And then the other incident, I can't remember what year it is, but Washington County Sheriff's Department Deputy Jeff Schwitz was almost killed in an accident on the side of the road when his vehicle was struck on the driver's side by a truck. So luckily, Jeff always, whenever he went back in his vehicle, always put his seatbelt on, even if he wasn't moving. And that probably saved his life that day. But again, this isn't theoretical. This happens up here. So during Crash Responder Safety Week, first responders are asking drivers to pay attention on the roadway, put down the phones, stop texting and driving, and be alert for incidents on the road. For more information, visit www.respondersafety.com.
Now, there was some legislation that was introduced not too long ago about an emergency vehicle zone. Are you familiar with this at all?
Yeah, I think I saw something about
I was just trying to find it now, but I couldn't find it in my quick look online. But they want to, you know, and again, it's supposed to just create more of a buffer zone, not only for fire and EMS, but for snowplows, highway workers, utility workers, everybody who's out there working inches away from people who are driving 78 miles an hour and paying no attention.
Yeah, because like let's say you look down at your phone at 75 miles an hour and you could move the entire length of a football field and not see anything that's around you. So it's like everybody just really has to be more vigilant and be alert on the roadway and put your attention to driving, put down the phones. Don't be eating. Don't be applying makeup. Don't be checking your stock prices or anything like that. Just be alert on the road and be aware of the first responders that will be on the side of the road.
Don't be watching videos.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what people are doing.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, that's why, again, put your phone away. There's nothing that can't wait till you're done driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the text messages and especially anything else that you're doing in your car.
Well, and we've had, a long summer of Highway 45 construction.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have.
And that's supposed to come to an end, I think, later this month.
Okay.
It?
Yeah, Paradise, all the way from Paradise and Washington Street are all open. So that was...
But just the one side.
Right.
Just one lane on each. So there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yep.
That they've got to finish, hopefully, before it snow flies.
Yeah.
Same thing with the street out in front of your fire station.
Yes. Hopefully, that'll be done soon as well. We can put the vehicles back in the station.
Because that was supposed to be done end of October.
I think so. Yeah, it kept getting stretched out. So I don't know what kind of problems they've run into. But any time they've run into a problem, they've been able to tell the fire department what's been going on. So we've been updated daily on the conditions. And I think, again, this is something that the last time it was done was about 25 years ago.
Right.
I won't be here to see the one that's done 25 years from now. So they've done a great job, and I think it's going to be a road that's going to last for a really long time, again, for the city.
Yeah, Lieutenant Rollinger was in last week, and he said they have definitely written citations for people who just can't seem to avoid driving on it.
Right. Yeah, so if you're going through a construction zone and it says road closed, don't go through it.
No.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember what he told me the fine was, but it's a pretty hefty fine.
Yeah, it's $168 or something like that.
Yeah. And I think there are points.
Yes, 3 points. Yeah.
So we've got a lot of stuff going on in the month of November.
Yeah, so for November, daylight saving time ends on the evening of Saturday, November 6th at 2 a.m. on Sunday, November 7th. Be sure to test your smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and combustible gas alarms when you change your clocks, if any of them have batteries or backup batteries. Because remember, even if you have some plug-in ones, they might have backup batteries as well. So make sure you know if you've got the 10-year lithium ion batteries versus if you have 9-volt or double A's. So again, we get a lot of calls for alarms that are beeping and people didn't even know they had backup batteries in them. So make sure to test your alarms monthly, test them the night of the daylight savings change, and also change any batteries in those alarms.
And you do still have alarms available to install.
We do. So if you need fire smoke alarms in your home, we get them free from the Red Cross. We also had a number donated from Our Savior's Lutheran Church. So if you need smoke alarms in your home, you can call my office, 262-335-5055, and I will come and install smoke alarms in your home.
All right.
So the rest of November, we've got Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease, or COPD, month. So that's emphysema and bronchitis. So just being aware of that. Diabetes Awareness Month. We should see if we can get somebody from Frater to come in and talk about Diabetes Awareness Month.
Yep.
Epilepsy Awareness Month. Lung Cancer Awareness Month. International Stress Awareness Week, November 2nd through the 5th. International Animal Shelter Appreciation Week, November 7th to the 13th. National Nurse Practitioner Week is November 14th to the 20th. World Antibiotic Awareness Week is November 18th to the 24th. The Great American Smokeout is Thursday, November 18th. And Thanksgiving is November 25th.
All right. And followed by Black Friday.
Followed by Black Friday, right, because nothing says, hey, I need more stuff in my house than going shopping at 2 a.m. on Black Friday.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And the I should mention while I'm thinking about it, this Thursday, they're lighting the tree downtown, the Christmas tree downtown, and then the holiday parade is the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend in West Bend.
Okay. Yeah. So make sure to attend the holiday parade and the tree lighting, and it should be pretty exciting. Actually, we had some of our firefighters downtown the other day doing the decorating for the downtown association. So
yeah. Saw some photos.
Yeah. That was nice of them.
Yeah. All right. And then, we got stuff going on in December, too.
Yeah, so for December, it's Safe Toys and Gifts Month, National Drunk and Drug Driving Prevention Month, National Hand Washing Awareness Week is December 1st to the 7th, so make sure to wash your hands.
Subject near and dear to my heart this week.
Yeah, well, then right after is National Influenza Week, which is December 6th to the 12th. So if you're washing your hands, you're aware that you're killing the flu bug, so you don't have to worry about it. Older Driver Safety Awareness Week is December 7th to the 11th. International Day for the Abolition of Slavery is December 2nd. International Day of Persons with Disabilities is December 3rd. And then we'll talk about next month, Christmas safety and New Year's Eve safety.
Ah, yes, indeed. All kinds of things going on.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, thank you for coming in, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Yep. Thanks, Rick. Thanks to all the listeners for your time. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.